Hi there. This is Pastor Tim. I'm the minister at Eastside Church. We are a United Methodist congregation in East Atlanta Village. We seek to be creative, historic, and inclusive. And we are thrilled that you found our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about our church community, you can visit us at www.eastsideatl.org. Well, again, good morning, friends. It truly is a privilege to be with you all in worship. And if you are a guest with us, I do hope that you have felt warmly welcomed thus far by our community. And if you are a guest with us, it may be helpful for you to know that our church is in a season of walking through what is known as the Revised Common Lectionary. And if you did not grow up in a liturgical church that used the lectionary, it is a three-year cycle of readings from Scripture. There's generally two from the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament, two from the New Testament. And this morning is a very special morning in the life of the Church Universal. And in fact, one could make an argument that next to Christmas and Easter, it is the third most important church day that we have together, our celebration of Pentecost, what some describe as the birthday of the church. Well, as was our reading last Sunday from the book of Acts, we're going to stick with the book of Acts, because that is where the Pentecost story is found, and it too is a bit of a wild reading. The disciples are in Jerusalem, they're in the upper room in the context of sort of a prayer gathering when something amazing takes place. The Holy Spirit crashes their party and gives them a powerful gift. So friends, without further introduction, as you're able, if you would stand with me for our reading. It's from Acts chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1, and as I read, I would invite you to listen for the word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them. A tongue rested on each of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in languages that they could only speak because the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed, astonished, they asked, "Are not these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we can hear each of us in our own native language? Parthian, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs." In their own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" While others sneered and said that they were filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning." Even Peter had a sense of humor. "No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as yourselves know. this man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One experience corruption. You've made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Siblings in Christ, the word of God for us, the people of God. Let us pray. God of resurrection, God of new life, I pray, God, that these words that I have prepared might be your word for your people in this time. May you speak through them, God, and as necessary, speak in spite of me. And as I preach, God, I pray that the words of my mouth and that collectively the meditations of all of our hearts would indeed be found right, pleasing, and acceptable in your sight. God, our rock, God, our redeemer. And everyone said, amen. Friends, you may be seated. Pentecost. It's not originally something that took place in Acts chapter 2 with our disciples. Pentecost had existed long before the New Testament and the early Jesus movement that we encounter this morning. Pentecost is an ancient Jewish festival with multiple layers of meaning, not least of which is the celebration of God giving the law to Moses on Mount Sinai way back in the book of Exodus. Pentecost was a yearly feast. It was a festival where people celebrated God's gift of the law to their ancient ancestors. Now, we in our culture today don't normally hold a yearly party to celebrate the laws of our land. But that's because we don't understand our legal code to literally be the revealed word of God. But the ancient Jewish people, they saw God's law, these Ten Commandments, to be the way to life. Obedience to God's way revealed to Moses on Mount Sinai, they understood it to be this beautiful gift to humanity and to our world. How do we live in harmony with one another, with God? Pentecost. The festival of Pentecost was about the word of God being revealed in our world. It was also a festival that celebrated the first harvest, the first round of crops that had grown that year. The people would come together and they would celebrate the miracle of growth. Growth that meant that they were able to eat. Growth meant that they were able to sell their crops if they needed it for income. Pentecost was also a festival that celebrated a God who makes good things grow in our world. God's good word revealed at Sinai, God's good work in making all things new. Now, as the church, we celebrate Pentecost 50 days after Easter, and we celebrate it as the day God was birthing something new in our world through these ancient followers of the way. And it's true, Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, it's a kind of a wild text, amen? Tongues of fire. And as I said last week, and it bears repeating, if you've never read through the book of Acts, you should. It bears witness to the genesis of the Christian church. And Acts chapter 2 is the birthday of the church. Now, I really love the fact that the lectionary often pairs the ancient Old Testament story of the Tower of Babel with Pentecost, because in the Tower of Babel, you have this, yet again, really interesting and strange scene. All of the humans in the world have come together, we're told, and they all speak the same language. And they decide they want to build a giant tower that's going to stretch all the way into the heavens so that they have easy access to the divine whenever they'd like to walk up the steps. Sounds realistic. And God is not terribly impressed with their project, because God had asked that the people would be fruitful, multiply, and cover the earth. But in Babel, they've all come together in one spot to work on this sort of ridiculous project. And God visits, and we're told that God adds diversity to human language. God mixes up the languages, adds to them. God creates diversity out of their unity and uniformity. God gives them all of these different languages so that the people would be forced to spread out and create a diverse world with diverse culture, with different kinds of people and people groups and tribes. It's almost as though God didn't want everybody to look exactly the same. Well, fast forward to Pentecost, what do we see? Liturgically speaking, last Sunday was Ascension Sunday, that strange and mysterious moment in the church year where we recognize that the resurrected Christ, after spending 40 days with his followers, ultimately transcends and transitions back to the realm of God. And then he hands the keys to the disciples. Here's the thing, Jesus wanted the disciples to become apostles, to also go out into the world bearing witness to what they had experienced with the resurrected one, to spread out. But Luke tells us that they have all clustered together in the upper room with the doors closed. They're essentially having a private prayer meeting. And they're seemingly unified around this desire to be comfortable together up in the upper room praying when God shows up in power, because the Holy Spirit was not okay with this. The Spirit throws open the doors and the windows and pushes the disciples to get out and preach. The sound of the Spirit is so loud that we're told that it draws a huge crowd of those who would have been in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. God essentially breaks up their prayer meeting because there's people out here in the city right now who need to hear the Jesus story, who need a word of hope, who need to hear a word from God. There's people present in the city all around them who need to be invited into this new unfolding chapter that God is birthing in the world. So God throws open the windows and the doors. God draws a crowd with the sound of the Spirit. He tells the disciples it's time to quit praying for a minute and start preaching. Here's the thing. God doesn't just kick them out the door and put them to work on their own. In the text, they have the life-giving, empowering presence of the Creator God of the universe. God goes with them. God gives them the power to do the work. Luke tells us that the Spirit comes upon them in the form of tongues of fire, and that these fiery tongues empower the disciples to preach. But not just preach, they're able to preach in all these different languages that they would not have known as backwater Galileans. In fact, some scholars would have said that Galileans would have had kind of an awkward accent, like they were maybe from an island in Wales or something like that. They already may have been a hard-to-understand dialect. And these, God empowers. But he doesn't do it by making everybody speak the same language. He gifts them to translate into the world the message. One message, but many languages. One message, many apostles. One message, many cultures and expressions of that message. Because unity does not mean uniformity. Both of these stories reveal to us a God who loves and desires diversity. And they reveal to us a God who desires for us to go out and to preach a good word to our world. See, there's nothing wrong with gathering in the upper room to pray. We probably need a whole lot more prayer meetings in our churches today. What we do together here in this sanctuary, week in and week out, is really important, and I need this time to be with my siblings in Christ. But I think what this text reveals is that it can't only be time in the upper room. There must be this give and take, this rhythm to our Christian life. We come together to be fed and to be filled and to be recreated. Then we, as the message, move the message outside of the walls to our neighborhoods, to our schools, to our places of work, to our families. We go back out, and like the Eucharist, we break ourselves open, loving people. We pour ourselves out, loving people. That's why the Eucharist is this beautiful reality that models for us this beautiful call to our discipleship. Was Pentecost only for those present in Acts 2? Or is it for us as well today? Because friends, God always is waiting to show up and do amazing things. God is always wanting to show up and do something new in our lives and in this world. And sometimes the Spirit's just waiting for us to make the move so that the Spirit can empower us in the work. Those ancient Jewish people who had gathered in Jerusalem from across the known world, I think this text reveals to us that they were thirsty to hear a fresh word from God. They were thirsty to hear the word that in Christ, God has defeated death forever. Friends, that is good news. Amen? And I would argue that our world today needs to hear that message. And they need to see it embodied in the way we live our lives right now. Luke tells us that 3,000 people came to believe in the resurrected one and joined the movement on that day. 3,000 is a lot of people. That must have been a pretty good sermon. It's an amazing story of God's power at work through human beings, even if God had to come in and break up their party to inspire the work. I love in the Celtic tradition, they refer to the Holy Spirit as a wild goose. Or to quote our old friend Bono, she moves in mysterious ways. We never quite know what the good old Holy Spirit might be up to in our lives and in this world. The metaphor of the wild goose, I love that. Pentecost, what might God be seeking to unleash through God's people in and for our world today? Through your life. Do we believe the Spirit wants to use us? Do we believe that if we start walking, the Spirit will empower us and give us what we need to do the work? We never quite know what the Spirit might be up to, but sometimes we just need to get walking. Each of us can be a living witness to the gospel. And as Peter and the other apostles did, we too are called to share that message in word and in deed, and to trust that the Spirit has our back in the process. It's been said many times before from this pulpit, but God has no hands and no feet but you and I, my friends. And this world could really use a church right now, bathed in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I believe God wants a fresh Pentecost for the church in our world today. I believe God loves the diversity of the church. I don't think we all have to practice our faith in identical ways. We don't all have to do church in identical ways. But I do believe that each of us are called to do our part, to step outside of these walls and to be a living witness to God's transforming power and goodness. Maybe so. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, on this morning, 2,000 years removed from this original Pentecost, fall fresh or show up like a crazy windstorm. Don't let any of us leave this place unchanged. Meet us. Move in us, make us different so that we can go out and do the work. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Everyone said, Amen.
Well, we hope that you've enjoyed this week's message, and we look forward to seeing you soon. If you listen from afar and you would like to support the work that we are doing in East Atlanta and on Atlanta's East Side, you can visit our website, www.eastsideatl.org, and find our giving portal there.